Tom, Ben!
What is it, Matthew?
Yeah, what's up, Matthew?
Well, you know we do this fantastic Flatshare Slamdown podcast.
What?
You not heard about this?
No!
Oh, you'd love it. It is right in your house.
Have you been podcasting this all along?
Yeah, did you not realise?
Well, every time we have a disagreement, it turns into a Flatshare Slamdown!
I've been putting them out as little podcasts.
This is a breach of privacy and I love it.
Can I just tell you now, I am coining it in.
Oh my God!
Really? Oh my goodness.
I'm very, very rich, so you don't have to pay rent this month.
Bless you. So what are we going to do instead?
Instead, I'm going to give you a special treat of our other podcast.
What? There's another podcast?
We do a different podcast called Pappy's Bangers and Mash.
Ooh. You've been recording our Bangers and Mash chat?
I'm afraid so, yeah. And I've been podcasting them as well, but not as many people know about them.
Oh, well, I'd like to listen to that.
Well, I tell you what, we've popped it on this feed, the Flatshare Slamdown feed, a bonus episode of Pappy's Bangers and Mash.
Oh my God, and if you like this, you can cross the streams and go to the other side.
Absolutely. It's a Ghostbusters reference. I wonder if we'll do that on the other podcast. Who knows?
We just did.
I think we just did. So if you haven't heard Pappy's Bangers and Mash, here's an old episode that we think you might enjoy.
Oh my word, what a treat.
What a real treat.
Just subscribe, you guys.
Just subscribe, guys.
Here we go. Bangers and Mash, Pappy's Bangers and Mash. Sketches and chats, Pappy's Bangers and Mash. Bangers and Mash, Pappy's Bangers and Mash. Welcome to Bangers and Mash.
The chat is the mash and the sketches are the bangers.
If the sketches are our coats, then the chat is the hangers.
If the chat is our pants, then the sketches are our wangers.
Welcome to Bangers and Mash.
Greetings, listener dear. We're back on this day of all days, the day you're listening to the podcast.
I thought it was a particularly exciting day, and it is.
It felt like the kind of day that you were going to start listening to this podcast, and it is. You've proved us right.
It's today.
The prophecy is fulfilled. And on this day, one shall press play, and their ear canal may be filled with voices from Tom.
Matthew.
Hello. And Ben. Hello.
That's right. And producer Pex is here. Cluck, cluck, cluck it away. There he is. We are here to, yes, deliver as it was foretold to you on this day. What's happened to you today that's made you want to press play and listen to this?
Yes.
We'll never know.
We'll never know the secrets of your mind, but you'll know almost too much about ours.
Yes, we're going to unload into your ear canal. As is our want. It's one of the true joys of our
Lives.
No, it is.
This genuinely is the best part of our job, is giving you a little bit of chat for the next 40 or 50 min-mins. It's a corker today, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Without a doubt, the silliest one we've done in ages, and a lot of fun.
Certainly my cup of tea.
You like it?
I'm not even that much of a fan of tea.
What do you prefer, tea or PBAM?
You'll never know.
Oh, we're not going to do a Twitter poll.
So, let's not beat around the bush of tea leaves. Does tea grow on a bush?
I think so, yeah.
Well, let's not beat around that tea bush. Let's get right in to Bangers and Mash. As we know, Clarky, break it down for us.
Oh, yeah. So we do some chat.
That's the mash.
That's the mash. And then we drop in some little extra bits. Some little bonus bits, and that is the bangers.
Exactly right. You have a good time, we have a good time, but most of all, your ear canal is decorated with joy.
Right? Yeah. I think that seems fair enough. Yeah,
cracking.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it then. Whip crack away. We started off by talking about
hot air balloons.
Wow. Hot air balloons, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You'd really kick it. How do you feel it when you stand on hot air balloons?
What? In the basket bit.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Well, that's where I've been doing
that's
it wrong.
Why you've got such a gorgeous colour to you? You've been inside the balloon.
Such a short and comfy journey here.
Yeah.
The guy who doesn't know where to go on a hot air balloon.
Could you ride on the top, like lying on the top of a hot air balloon, or would you just go straight through?
Has Bond done it?
No, but Jackie Chan has. He did it as an actual stunt, jumped off a cliff onto the top of a hot air balloon.
Are you sure Bond hasn't?
I think he did. Did he do one where it was on? He was like on a, one of the bigger ones, the ships,
like a blimp.
Yeah,
I think there is. Yeah, there
he's,
is.
There's blimped. He's blimped.
He's blimped. Yeah,
he's blimped.
He's
blimped. Clarky, you're off the hook for this episode, apparently.
I don't know what I'm doing. I was going to say he blimped his ride.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Should have committed to it.
Yeah.
Fact, James Bond has never been on top of a hot air balloon. Q's hot air balloon appears in Octopussy, and Bond hangs off the bottom of a hot air balloon in The World Is Not Enough.
Here's the question, right? I'm concerned this is how I'm getting about how I live my life. If you...
Wait, you're concerned you're getting about by hot air balloon?
No, this is what I'm... Like, a hot air balloon would be a treaty ride to buy someone and go, like, oh, I'm in a hot air balloon.
As in, like, a red letter day?
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. But
here's
lovely
my thing. If you die in a hot air...
A treaty ride is not what they're called, by the way.
A treaty ride.
A treaty ride.
It was a treaty ride.
It was a lovely treaty ride.
That's a nice phrase, isn't it, for you?
I got my wife a treaty ride on a horse.
Thank God, that's what he said. you got her a treaty ride on a horse?
Yeah, she's not used it. I've just realised. We'll have to go. It's got to be soon. August birthday. It's got to be soon.
I bet 90%. Well, I'd say 70% of red letter days just never. Yeah. They sit in a drawer. They don't get used.
I'm going to say 30. Let's call red letter days and find out.
Okay.
And let's bet £50 on it.
Whoa. Let's bet a red letter day on it.
That's a great bet.
Okay, so what do you
said 70, I said 30. Oh.
70, 30.
Closest wins.
Well, so I'm going on it, whether or not.
Yeah,
I'm
the plus one. You're the plus one.
Oh, I love it. I've absolutely lucked out. You know what I've done? I've blimped my blimp.
You've blimped your blimp?
Absolutely blimped my blimp today.
You had a treaty ride.
I've had a real treaty ride and I've blimped my blimp.
Have you ever been on the red letter day?
Nah, no one has.
They just don't go.
So let's just get this right again. You reckon 70% go on unclaimed?
70, no, no.
Oh, I'm 70. 70. He's 30.
I reckon 30%.
Okay, Clarky 70%. You 30%.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because, like, basically, most gifts go unused.
I'm feeling very confident about my red letter day.
Yeah?
I'm already deciding what it's going to be.
Okay, well, do you want to? Should we chat about hot air balloons first?
Okay, or you talk about my Zorb ball later.
We're going to Orbin. Oh, it's Orbin.
I mean,
Could you fill the Zorb with hot air and do a doubler?
No.
What, Zorb off the edge of a cliff? You don't want to do that, mate.
The helium Zorb.
Your voice would be so high.
How was your day? It was a treaty ride.
I was inside the helium Zorb. So
I blimped my Zorb.
I blimped my Zorb.
Chan probably could.
Chan could fill a Zorb full of helium.
Of course he could.
Ain't no thing Chan can't do. Apart from pay his tax? Did he pay his tax?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
No.
Chan's the one for Clarkie.
Yeah.
Chan's your absolute idol,
Chan will
isn't
Clark.
It?
Yeah. Chan will Clark. Clark will defend Chan.
You're right.
Clark will defend Chan more than Sting.
Oh, right. Yeah, this is a good one, okay? Yeah. There's a train coming down the
tracks.
There's
a hot air balloon.
There's a hot air balloon.
About to land. Sting or Chan.
Exactly. You could
it's a weird scenario.
You could either turn on a fan and it blows it and it collapses on Sting.
I'll tell you who'd do
or
something
like
that.
Or you could not turn on a fan. Hang on a second. We want to find this out.
Sorry, go on.
Not turn on a fan and it lands on Chan, okay?
Yeah.
I would say that Chan turns me on more than Sting. I'd say Chan.
He answered that in a very cryptic way.
Yeah. It took us both a long time to clock what you were on about.
Do you know who's playing the villain who's doing this? Christoph Waltz.
Yes. Christoph Waltz.
He's the kind of guy who would do that
your
sort of thing.
I have Sting. You.
Oh, you like him. He's one of your singers, I believe.
One of my singers.
But who is this? Chan? Your friend?
He's doing Chan in Chan's voice. That's the worrying thing.
That's what he can do. He's very versatile as an actor.
He's very versatile.
Much like my good self.
You are quite a versatile actor, aren't you?
Bless you for saying so.
You can do bald guy shouting.
Yes.
Bald guy shouting and sweating.
I'm in my Zorb, man! Very sweaty in the Zorb.
I'm in my Zorb, man. Oh, I would watch that sitcom.
That's a hell of a character for I'm in my Zorb,
just
man.
A character who's constantly in his Zorb.
How long do you think
a
I could last?
A Flaming Lips sitcom.
How long do you think I could last in his Zorb?
What do you mean?
What do you mean by that?
I'm going into my Zorb.
David Blaine style.
I'm not coming out of it.
You're blaming
how
it.
Long? How long do you think I could do?
Have you got food and water in the Zorb?
I think
that's
you can
the bigger
put
question.
Food and water into a Zorb.
Yeah, you can.
I'm not sure you're allowed to do this on your red letter day.
Because how long can you survive without food or water is a different question, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it's very much a different question. Like, and I thought that was the question you were
people
asking.
People can push a sandwich into the Zorb for me. It will absorb it.
But then you have to go to the toilet.
If I run a Zorb company, I'd be using the absorb joke every day.
Oh, I know. You gloated so much for that it will absorb it.
I got nothing for it.
Correct. Now, the question is, where are you going to go to the toilet inside the Zorb?
Oh, it won't absorb that.
Won't absorb that, mate.
I will absorb anything for love.
Well, you do. Ooh. I think you do have...
That one we should take a little moment on.
I know, but I just got it away.
Can I just ask, Tom, you know when you said I would absorb anything for love to sort of three different tunes?
Yeah. It settled down, didn't it?
It settled down eventually when you worked out what you wanted to do. What were you on about there?
I think it got away. I don't think we can dispute that one. It looked like it was going to have trouble, and then it got through. got fumbled by the fielders over the boundary line. I'll take it.
It squeezed through a very... that's all we hit. Thought. It's not going to get through these. Not going to get down this alleyway. Or slide perfectly down.
I reckon if you give me... If there's a place I can poop out of, and there's a place food
there
can
is,
come in
There is. It's your arsehole. You've got one already.
If the Zorb has a mouth and an arse, if you will, then I reckon 2 months...
Two months, no, you don't.
Fact: the record for longest Zorb ride is held by Steve Camp, who travelled 570 metres. The record for fastest Zorb ride is held by Keith Culver, who reached a speed of 52 kilometres per hour. There is no current record held by Guinness for the longest time spent in a Zorb.
Will someone put this on telly?
Man spends 2 months in Zorb.
My so-called Zorb life. Something like that.
The boy in the bubble.
The boy in the bubble.
The boy in the bubble.
The ledge in the sphere.
The legisphere.
The legisphere.
They call it the legisphere. No one knows why.
Things I could still do. Travel. Dance.
As long as I can still dance, I'm happy. That's always been Tom Parry's motto.
I'd be without human contact, but I'd be with company. What about everyone would want to hang around with Legisphere.
Could you let other people into the Zorb?
Oh, that's an interesting idea, isn't it?
Can you double Zorb?
No, visit? Thank you.
Could you have a conjugal visit inside your Zorb?
Oh, dear. Yes, please.
I bet someone's done that. Someone must have banged in a Zorb, right?
Listener dear, if you've banged in a Zorb,
tweet us a
then
picture.
You win a red letter day. Do you think so? I bet one of those bloody... Do you know who's done it? Bloody two New Zealand instructors.
Oh.
Two horny New Zealanders.
I bet Sting's done it.
Sting's
hours.
Had tantric Zorb sex.
Tantric Zorb with Sting. Oh, that's a terrible... That's a diabolical plot in Christoph Waltz's evil plan to conquer Hollywood.
So, wait, can I just check this plan? The plan is he's going to trap you in a Zorb for 2 months, and at the end of it you've got to kill Jackie Chan.
No, this is the way it starts, is he's about to land a hot air balloon on Jackie Chan or Sting.
Yeah, he's about to.
I try and save him for Clarkie's benefit.
Of course.
It'd really be the turn of, you know, 2016's been bad enough as it is, but...
Oh, that would absolutely, yeah.
You can't lose
that
Sting.
Absolutely.
In trying to save Chan and Sting, I get caught and trapped in a Zorb by Christoph Waltz.
This is an amazing movie.
But here's the twist. He sends in, you know...
What a twist.
What an absolute twist.
The picture's slightly falling apart.
I was going to say Jennifer Lawrence or someone like that.
Well, you've got to have Jennifer Lawrence in it. That's Hollywood
rules.
And
she comes into the Zorb and we have this kind of will-they-won't-they relationship. That's the middle third.
So you're basically your dream is you want to have sex with Jennifer Lawrence in a Zorb.
Well, I think that's everyone's dream.
Give and take the Zorb. The Zorb's not a deal breaker. For me, for Lawrence it is. Yeah. Very particular about the
very,
Zorb.
Very exacting standards, hasn't she?
Yeah.
I think that both the Zorb and you are the two deal breakers.
Anyway, we've digressed brilliantly away from...
Oh, that's good to know.
Thankfully.
The reviews are in, guys. We've digressed brilliantly.
A real return to form on
guys,
the
digress front. Guys, can I just tell you one thing? If you're listening to this at the moment, you're currently loving it. It's important because there may be a moment... I can see a lot of people with their finger hovering over the button thinking, shall I just delete this download? No, mate. You are having a cracking time.
You're having a red letter day.
You've
given your ear canal a red letter day.
This podcast is a red letter day for your ears.
Fact, you are loving this podcast.
Anyway, here's my question to get back to where we began.
Yes.
You're in a hot air balloon.
Yeah. Oh, aye.
It crashes.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
At what point do you go, what the fuck was I doing in a hot air balloon?
Oh, I'd imagine about 10 seconds into the hot air balloon.
Like, how cross would you be with yourself for putting yourself through the hot air balloon thing? And that's my worry about, like... It's like risk, isn't it? But like,
yeah.
you go in the hot air balloon, you'd be like, oh, this isn't safe. This isn't as safe as other things. It's fun, but why?
Why am I in a wicker basket, for God's sake?
Yeah. Who trusts so wicker high anymore? Up?
But then I imagine...
What, from picnic goers?
Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear loves a bit of wicker.
He loves a bit of wicker.
But you don't see...
The Wicker Man.
You don't
man.
See cars built out of wicker anymore, do you?
No, the
they got rid of wicker cars quite
wicker,
early.
The wicker car was a short-lived invention, yeah.
A wicker car.
A wicker car.
Bless you.
Oh dear. That doesn't work at all.
The wicker car was a short-lived invention. We didn't see much of it. So
wicker trousers didn't get much wear.
Oh, they'd be scratchy, wouldn't
they? They were. They were very awkward.
But they were in the Gap sale, so what can you do?
Well, that's it.
Is that how you style yourself, Clarkie? What's in the Gap sale?
Pretty much what's in any sale.
What's in the sale? What's in the skip?
Do people wear wicker hats?
People wear straw hats, but I don't think wicker hats. Wicker hat would be just a bit too heavy.
The wicker industry's not thriving, is it?
I think they make a lot of Fortnum and Mason's hampers, stuff like that.
Oh, that's true, yeah. The hamper...
Outside of hampers and baskets.
That's it, isn't it, for wicker?
Bins?
Wicker bins!
Wicker bins!
Yeah, the waste
that's
paper
what,
bin.
Is that what Edward Snowden got in trouble for? The wicker bins.
Well, it is leaked all over the pavement. And,
a wicker bin will leak.
Yeah. He had to go to Sweden, didn't he? Because his wicker bin leaked.
Fact. Pappies have confused Edward Snowden with Julian Assange and will continue to do so for the rest of the episode.
Where is he at the moment, Snowden?
I don't know, he's in an embassy, isn't he?
Shall we find him? Could that be our gift to the world?
Do you think he listens?
I've read letter day.
Do you think? Well, he's got a lot of time on his hands.
And he's got a lot of his mind on the web, hasn't he?
I wonder who's the...
A lot of his mind's out there on the web. Do you reckon Edward Snowden's listening today?
I tell you what, if you're a friend of Snowden, send him a recommend. Say, look, you've had a tough time of it because of the web. Give your ear canal a red letter day. you're stuck in that embassy. Take your hands in ours.
Yeah.
And come fly on a hot air balloon. Think Snowden's a reef fan?
He's got two ears and a heart, hasn't he?
So here's the thing. If you work in that embassy, do you think you've got the arsehole with Snowden? Because he's pretty much moved in and he's not going anywhere. He can't leave.
But they invited him in, didn't they?
Yeah, but you invite people around. It's like, you know, the end of a dinner party when someone's like helping themselves to another bottle of wine. And it's like, well, it is half one, mate, and we have got work tomorrow.
Do you think the life of Edward Snowden could be made into You, Me and Dupree too? Is that what it is? Is it like Edward Snowden if you...
He's the housemaid that just won't leave. Else the CIA will kill him.
Not a bad movie idea.
Oh, yeah, I quite like it.
Do you think he lives it up? Do you think he's just like, he's farting away, poking on a big cigar?
Poking on it?
Yeah.
I don't know,
on a cigar?
I think...
Do you token?
I bet he's having a restricted game of Pokemon Go. Am I right, guys? But it's frustrating being bloody Edward. I'm as frustrated as Edward Snowden playing Pokemon Go. It's just across the road. I can't get there.
It's a good South African accent.
Is he South African? Game.
South African, isn't he?
Snowden. I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not American.
No, I think he's South African.
Bloody hell, did not know that.
Producer Pegs will know.
I know, but we can't ask him.
Can we not?
No,
he's right there, but we can't.
Two clucks for yes, and one cluck for no.
Okay.
Is Edward Snowden Producer American, Pegs. Producer Pegs?
Producer Pegs.
One cluck for yes, two clucks for no.
Wait, is he American?
Is he American? He's American, guys.
He's American?
No, that wasn't... I thought that was one cluck for no. You asked if... Is he American?
One cluck for yes, two clucks
oh,
for no.
Oh, sorry.
He's American.
He's American.
Well, he did... All his leaks were from the FBI and the CIA, wasn't
yeah.
They?
Yeah.
They weren't from the... Table Mountain.
Yeah, weren't for a bloody biltong factory, were they?
Is the secret, you guys? It is not a real table.
Oh God, that's not good.
It is a mountain. It's not bad, is it?
No, it's more like this. The
it's
fucking
more like
prawn.
This, you fucking prawn. You fucking prawn. All you two can say is fucking you prawn. Fucking prawn. If well, you go to
there's
Africa,
a lot of secrets in District 9.
The only secret you give is from a prawn factory.
Prawn. Stick another prawn on the barbie. On the braai.
On the braai.
On the braai.
Oh, it's a different life, I tell you.
What, the life in South Africa?
Yeah.
You've been to South Africa, haven't you?
I know.
Imagine if I was telling you that for the first time. You've been to South Africa.
Oh, my God!
We're going to do an episode of This Is Your Life, where you've not really been paying attention to your life.
Oh, that's not bad, is
it? Yeah, yeah. All the things you've forgotten you've done.
Fact. Tom went to South Africa in 1999 visiting Cape Town, Johannesburg and Durban. Julian Assange is Australian.
In fact, the Braai lifestyle in South Africa, this is the kind of thing Edward Snowden misses out on, because that fucker, he can't barbecue anymore, can he?
Yeah, but we've established he's not South African.
No, but you can still barbecue if you're not South African.
No, you can't, mate. That's the. Do you not see the ruling?
The
that was the key leak in WikiLeaks.
The rule is you can't barbecue indoors, right? And Edward Snowden... He's to live his life indoors.
Wait, does he?
Embassy.
I've got to have a fucking braai.
I've got to have a fucking prawn.
Give me a braai, man, you WikiLeaks bastard. It's the life of Edward Snowden.
There's a fucking Pikachu right over there on the pavement, and I want to have a barbecue.
Went to Wales via Pakistan. You
did
know
it?
That? Yeah, yeah, he did.
That's where Snowden, that was Snowden's route.
Wales via Pakistan.
So he escaped the CIA.
He went to the Welsh embassy first.
He headed to the hills. He went up the Khyber Pass. And ended up in, is it a Swedish embassy? Life of Edward Snowden. This is what I do.
What we've established, Thomas, we know nothing of Edward Snowden. We should have gone and seen that Benedict Cumberbatch movie.
Like, was that about everyone else did.
Yeah, it was about.
Oh, I thought that was about the Sherlock guy.
No, he is.
Snowden?
No, Benedict Cumberbatch plays Sherlock.
Ah. A film about Edward Snowden?
It was a bizarre film.
Okay, here's my story. I've got it, right? We all have to pitch a plot, a film plot.
Okay, I like this.
Around Edward Snowden and his life being stuck in an embassy.
Okay.
So mine's a rom-com.
Yeah, sure.
Right? He's looking out his window, trying to catch the Pokemon that's over in the park, because it gets young viewers involved, right?
So it's a rom-com.
The Pokemon's the route in.
Oh, okay.
He sees... A beautiful Swedish lady.
A beautiful Swedish Pikachu.
From South Africa. Who will buy my wonderful schnitzels? Do I sell schnitzels? A schnitzel salesman comes past the park, right in front of where his Pokemon is, that he can't get to. And the Pokemon is like a symbol for this woman. It's going to be like his love. They make eye contact.
Can I have a quick chat with Clarky?
Yeah, mate.
What the bloody hell's going on in this plot?
I have no idea.
I'm buying you guys some time so you can come up with your Edward Snowden.
Well,
I've got another one.
No, this you can't have two. One. So he's in love with a Swedish
Edward
girl.
Edward Snowden
who's
falls in love with
schnitzels.
A schnitzel salesman in the park.
Okay.
And he knows if he goes to the park, he'll be caught by the CIA when they're outside.
Okay.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Right. So, Snowden's looking across, and the film is a rom-com.
Yeah,
it's a romance.
By the way, can I just say...
Yes, of course.
Listener, you're really enjoying this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Just thought we should...
Genuinely, this is cracking.
It's a red letter day for your account.
Snowden's going, I really want to go and see that schnitzel lady. Schnitzel's lady's like, who will buy my wonderful schnitzel? She tries to get a job at the embassy so that they can be together.
Okay.
All the long and short of it is, the end of the film, Snowden needs to decide, will he cross the road to kiss the schnitzel lady and then get arrested by the CIA?
What does he do? It's like the end of Crocodile Dundee.
He crosses the road, he goes to kiss the lady, he catches the Pokemon instead. CIA go to pounce, schnitzel's ladies put a schnitzel in their tailpipe.
Like Beverly Hills Cop.
Like Beverly Hills Cop. And he gets the Pokemon and the girl.
And as a threesome,
they have a barbecue.
They barbecue the Pokemon.
They all pop in their Zorb and have a conjugal visit.
It's not great.
But
there's something in a man who can't leave his house, seeing a lady and there being love, and the only way he can talk to her is through song. It's a musical.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, okay. We'll launch the Kickstarter, I suppose.
I guess let's get that going.
Yeah, Clarky, have you got one?
Is it like Home Alone? Because that's the other one.
Is that the other one?
Yeah.
You do?
Okay. Yeah.
It's called Embassy Alone.
Tom. The idea of writing a film is not that you get an existing film and apply it to another story.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it kind of is. Actually.
It is. Yeah.
All right. Jack Frost 2. Edward Snowman.
Oh, hello.
Right.
It doesn't snow in the embassy.
It doesn't snow in the embassy. So he's melting.
Oh my God! Hang on. Edward Snowden's
dead.
It's a
bit like Frozen. He's got to keep the room really cold because he can create snow out of his fingers.
This is a very similar film to mine. Edward Snowden's dead dad.
Edward Snowhands.
Edward Snowhands.
Edward Snowhands. Jack Frost 2. Edward Snowhands. Jack Frost. So Edward Snowhands' dead dad appears to him as a snowman.
Edward Snowhand
in the
Luke.
Park.
Edward Snowhand Luke, right? Let's chase this. Jack Frost 2. Edward Snowhand Luke. He eats 50 frozen eggs. He has his eggs frozen.
He has his eggs frozen.
For fertility reasons.
He's going to Brazil.
He wants to avoid the Zika virus, so he's had his eggs frozen. Edward.
This is current. This is the one that's got everything.
This has got,
and it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Edward Snowden.
If you've got snow hands, every time you, you know, you'll freeze your...
Every time you scratch your balls.
He freezes, he freezes his sperm himself.
Yeah.
He can freeze his own eggs with his snow hands. Okay, this is
I
great.
Need
so
a lover with a snow hands. I need a lover with a cold touch.
Finger.
It's a musical. So he freezes his eggs so he can throw them down to the schnitzel salesman.
Oh no.
Oh, yes. It's the worst snowball fight in history.
Who will buy my frozen schnitzels?
My schnitzel's frozen, love.
What does that mean? That's the final. That's the final line of the trailer.
Yeah,
that's like it's a dog. A dog with sunglasses goes, "My schnitzel's frozen, baby." And then it's cuts to, you know, in cinemas this summer.
It's the Pokemon,
a Digimon, a little Pikachu with sunglasses goes, "I've heard about a frozen schnitzel, but this is ridiculous."
South African.
He's South African. Give me a prawn, baby.
I froze my prawns
on this Squirtle.
God. We should definitely pitch this film.
This is the best up movie idea of all time.
Right.
So it's Jack Frost 2, Edward Snowhands, Frozen 2. Brackets.
Snowhand Luke.
Snowhand Luke.
Edward Snowhand Luke, colon, Frozen 2.
Frozen colon.
Frozen.
Space docking.
He's frozen as colon. Oh, dear.
So what we're basically saying is there's a lot of things Edward Snowden can't do.
Right? Oh, I hope this has really cheered him up over in his prison cell.
Because this is how it works when you live in South Africa, the braai thing. Like, if it's a day like today, like, they have days like, they have hot days, dear listener.
Oh,
every day.
It's a gorgeous, fresh
hot day. So you go to work, you buy a big bag of meat.
We should say we're recording this in South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
It's a special episode.
No expense spared. We threw a dart at a map.
Yep.
And went to South Africa.
Yeah, and, two things unrelated.
Yes.
yes, sorry, Thomas.
So, if it's a nice day at work, you just buy a big bag of meat.
Yes.
You call up your mates and be like, whose house?
Yeah.
And then you just go around
and say, Hugh Laurie.
Yeah. You go around his house, you have a bit of meat, and you just all stick it on the braai. You drink a beer, you have a swim in the pool, and then you go home.
The thing is, Tom,
every day,
you neither drink beer nor eat meat.
I'd go in the pool, though, wouldn't I?
You'd have a great time in the pool.
You'd go in the pool.
And then
you'd put the barbecue
window.
Out.
Yeah. You'd absorb yourself window. Straight into the pool.
Oh!
Can you absorb on water?
Yeah, of course you can.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's one of the best things about absorbing.
Can you absorb on ice?
Jesus was the first Zorba in the history of the world.
So, Zorba the Greek.
Zorba the Greek was the second.
Second, yeah. Right.
But Jesus was the first. And actually, and Wayne if Coyne you trace back most of third. His miracles... You can see that there was a Zorb involved.
He sorbed water into wine.
Like
later
you
on.
Give me a Jesus miracle and we'll
Lazarus.
Tell you.
Yeah, Lazarus
where.
Would be the first one.
Yeah, so
pick up thy Zorb and roll.
Yeah.
It wasn't
that's
like,
exactly what it said.
That can't be right. Can
pick up
thy
Zorb
and roll.
Yeah. That's a great. Yeah, that's a t-shirt waiting to be made. I mean, I'd wear it.
Oh, there was explaining that, you'd have to do.
There was that time where they only had 4.5 Zorbs, but they had thousands of people who wanted to Zorb.
Yeah.
And he broke all the Zorbs, and then they... There was enough Zorbs for
the Red Letter Day Company.
The Zorbing on the Mount.
That was the first Red Letter Day Company.
Was the Zorbing on the Mount.
And if we think about it, guys, isn't the resurrection the greatest Red Letter Day of them all?
That's really great stuff.
I mean, I am thinking about it, but I'm worried that my brain's not allowing me to come to the answer that I think you want me to have.
The answer is thrice times yay.
Thrice times yay. One for Jesus, one for his father, our Lord God.
Two for
course,
a girl and three for a boy.
And good morning, Mr. Magpie. There comes a point in every PBAM where we have a complete breakdown.
Which happened very early in this one.
Well, we've had about three of them. I've had about three of them so far. One for Jesus, one for our Lord God, and one for that lovely little magpie keeps picking away all that wonderful gold.
It is like we're talking in code for most of these eps.
That's only because we're communicating with Snowden.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're trying to get under the
this house. I tell you what, code. Fucking hell. Right, this is because code. Do you remember when you were a kid?
It was all about secret codes.
It was
codes.
All about secret codes.
Yeah.
How much time and effort did you put into secret codes?
We definitely spent a lot of time on secret codes.
Oh, my God,
kids.
And that's gone now. Although, I guess if you were right for the internet, you're probably full on into codes.
The Huffington Post.
My blog. My blog's got loads of secret messages in lemon juice on it.
Really? Oh, that was the other thing as well. Like lemon juice, or you could write with a candle.
With a candle, yeah.
Is that the font that you use on Word? Lemon juice.
Lemon juice, yeah.
Well, the equivalent of that now is you turn the letters into white, don't you?
That's
send a
right.
blank email. Highlight it. Oh,
highlight
make it.
It
black.
Send it into. Send.
That's good stuff.
See, that's it, isn't it?
That's good stuff.
So next time you think you've got a blank email from me, think again, bitches.
Should we?
It's Snowden communicating. So what I'm thinking is, listener dear, should we come up with some kind of code? Because do you remember we had our secret signal?
Yeah.
That I think we haven't talked about really this series, but it's cool to have a secret signal.
It's very cool to have
so
a secret signal.
So the tap
signal.
Of the head and the right finger circle in the air.
Yeah, so just, it's we'll explain it. So yeah, if you're walking down the street and you see one of us, or you see someone you think might be a PBAM listener,
yeah.
I mean, that's a bigger gamble to see one of
if
us.
If someone's got a pair of headphones on and they're pissing themselves with laughter,
yeah, chances
a
are
good chance.
To my dad wrote a porno. Very strong pod.
Oh, right, okay.
So...
Tapping, tap on the head.
Tapping on the head.
Two or three taps.
Tap on the head, and then we'll do a sort of circle in the air as if you're sort of making a little tornado with your finger.
Yeah. That's it. So we've got a secret single. That's good, but should we have...
We've got a secret single.
Oh, yeah, have you not heard?
It's Christmas number one.
Nobody knows it. That's our single.
We've done a reworking of the semi-sonic classic.
Yeah. Christmas in the Embassy. We'll play Edward Snowden. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
It'll be lonely this Christmas. We're
all going for different jokes.
We should all work on the lyrics together before we record the song.
Oh, no, my God.
I tell you what. Would you like to sing a song? We'll give you the title. We'll all sing it and see how many of the words we get the same. I think that's not a bad idea.
What, any like a pre-written song?
No. It's a song we're going to write right now. We're going to sing our versions. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. One word each for the title.
Yes.
So it's going to be lovely
stuff.
Everyone,
lovely stuff. Everyone, here we go.
One,
so it's Pappy's.
Two, a one, two. Three, four,
lovely stuff, everyone. We're having a nice time.
Fucking hell,
lovely
stuff,
all
everyone.
Get some wine.
And don't you know,
we're having a tasty time.
And everyone
for listening to the song.
Fact, this is the worst moment in the history of Pappy's Bangers and Mash.
I want to go down the street to where my baby lives.
I want to knock on my baby's door.
My little baby and
my
dance so nice.
We'll
sing a song.
We'll have a what is this? What is this? What is this? What is this?
I thought we'd invented a new type of music.
What is this?
I thought we'd invented a new type of music, but we hadn't.
Ah, the Flaming Lips have done that before.
Flaming Lips. Everything we want to do, zorbing, singing songs at the same time.
With the Flaming Lips of podcasting.
With the Flaming Lips of podcasting. Basically, we haven't been relevant since 1997. Ever since the Soft Bulletin came out, people went, bloody hell, they're the future of music. And then they were like,
No, we're not.
Sorry, we're not, guys. We're gonna re-release Cats in the Cradle, but call it a different thing.
Right. So,
Father and Son.
Father and Son, yeah.
So, what I would like to know is what our code can be.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because, like, if we could... Or if
right,
we could,
so...
If we could have a coded message in this podcast... Like at the end.
So if someone's listening to it, oh sorry, this might be a different thing, but if someone's listening to the podcast, like that thing of when detectives in films kind of when spies meet up and they're like, the sunset is very nice tonight.
So they say in Moscow, but not in Berlin.
Yes, that kind of thing.
But you can't say that. You can't say yes, that kind of thing.
No.
Just give me the fucking briefcase, man.
And you'd be sitting on two park benches, both reading the newspaper, but like looking straight ahead.
Yeah. Oh. And if someone says it to them, you have to give them your bag.
I mean, that's not what we agreed for. I mean,
oh my God, we're gonna do an international bag swap. What? If you see another PBAM listener and you say the sunset's lovely and they say yes, but not in Berlin.
In Moscow, but not in Berlin.
Yes, in Moscow, but
just
not in Berlin.
Bags and
swap
off.
Bags. And off whatever's in their bag, you get it.
Oh my God, that's fucking, that's an exciting thing. It's like that Changing Lanes with Ben Affleck and Morgan Freeman. Is that right?
The swap briefcase, yeah.
The swap briefcase, isn't it? Changes their day for the worse.
It's lucky it doesn't change today for the better, otherwise it wouldn't have been quite such a good film, would it?
Yeah, Morgan Freeman has slightly better sandwiches than Affleck's
an apple and a tonics tea cake. This is the best day ever!
That would be actually, like, Morgan finds out he's got a bigger lunch than expected because it's Affleck's lunch.
Oh,
Affleck packs a hearty lunch,
doesn't he? Oh, I bet he does, actually.
Four rounds of butties! Bloody hell! That's what Freeman's thinking.
Four rounds of butties.
I'd love to hear that.
That's an uncanny Morgan Freeman impression, by the way. Four rounds of butties! Bloody hell!
They call him Red, he can get things.
What's that Vince Vaughn film where he has to go for four dinners?
It's called Four Christmases.
Right, so it's like that, but Morgan Freeman has to have four rounds of butties.
Four rounds of sandwiches.
Whereas on Affleck's scene is this. Oh, man.
Quinoa salad?
That's not going to get me till three.
It's not going to get me.
Can I have a deep pan pizza? Yeah, I'm on the phone.
It sounds like Rude Dog.
The disappointment on Affleck's face when he realises he's got Morgan's lunch.
You know what?
Because Morgan's a thin man, isn't he?
He is a thin man. He looks after himself. Yeah. Affleck lives high on the bloody hog.
Affleck is the kind of guy who wakes up and cracks an egg in his gob.
A frozen egg. One of Snowden's frozen eggs.
Like an ice lolly.
That's the start of the movie.
He gets it out.
Ugh, this frozen egg's partially defrosted.
It's freezing.
Give me a deep pan pizza.
Sorry, who are you now?
That's Affleck. That's how it does, man. Hey, do you like apples? Well, how do you like... That's not him.
How do you like these frozen eggs?
How do you like frozen eggs?
How do you like those frozen sperms?
Good Will Hunting 2. I've frozen my apples.
Starring Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden Hunting 2.
Oh, do you think, dear. Yeah.
Do you think he plays hide and seek in the embassy, does Edward Snowden?
Well, he's sort of playing a giant
It's a little microcosm of his life.
He's hiding in plain sight. That's what hiding in plain sight means, isn't it?
Fact, no.
Do you know what I heard about Snowden?
Go on.
I heard he has a robot in America and with an iPad as a face, and he attends premieres and high parties as a robot. I swear to God.
Does he?
I heard it from two different sources.
Well, I tell you what. We'll go to the ultimate source on Edward Snowden knowledge. Does Edward Snowden have a robot, producer Pex, with an iPad for a face? Now, it's one cluck for no, two clucks for yes.
Two clucks for yes this time. Okay. And three clucks for I don't know.
Oh, so it's yes and no.
He doesn't what? Know.
Is this the most demeaning thing we've made someone do?
I think the thing is, we always demean ourselves first.
That's very true.
That's true. Producer Pegs, do you find the clucking system demeaning? 15 clucks for yes, one cluck for no.
I'd love it if you laid an egg.
A frozen egg. We're going to have a baby.
Pex lays a Snowden's egg.
I'm going to have to send this back as a real Snowden's egg.
So yeah, Snowden attends like diplomatic parties and premieres as a with like a robot with an iPad.
What does the robot look like? Like Johnny Five?
I don't know. I assume so.
I imagine every
I assume
robot.
Most robots look like Johnny
don't
Five.
Don't you feel like you would have seen a photo of it rather than just someone describing
honestly,
it?
Honestly, I think I've read it. Like, I'm pretty sure it happens.
That's amazing. Should we start doing that?
But also,
well, get him on as a guest.
We're never invited to any premieres, so we'd have to crash the premieres in the first place.
That's the only way we're going to get invited to premieres.
If we could pretend to be Edward Snowden's
robot.
Should
we invite the premiere? Yeah. Do we hack into Edward Snowden's
robot? It's like the guy who pretended to be Sidney Poitier's son. We could be...
Hang on. Who's that? Well, I don't think we could get away with that.
No, but we could get away with being Edward Snowden's robot.
Is Sidney Poitier South African? Because if we
well,
are
you
do it, I am getting into that premiere.
No, he's not.
Who thanks curry and chips.
I thought that was deliberately French.
Oh, which by the way is the perfume I'm wearing at the moment.
It's very nice.
It's
very
French nice from Jean Paul Gaultier
on the fromage.
No, it's not de fromage. That's cheese.
That's cheese. De fromage.
Man of cheese. You've just described yourself, mate.
I mean, that's the perfume you've been wearing since the age of about 14, I'd say. Homme de fromage.
Homme de fromage.
What's that, Primula?
Just on the toothbrush. Yum, yum, yum. Oh, my God. Nice bit of brie under the old armpits.
So do you think we could get away with being Snowden's robot? Also, don't people just go up and try and like watch like Lego Netflix Batman on his on his face? Well, I wouldn't. Also, imagine if like someone knocks him over.
Imagine getting stuck talking to him.
Or imagine him getting stuck in a corner and he can't negotiate his way out of the corner.
Snowden's had one too many. Snowden. Do you think he gets pissed and gropey as a robot? That's what I'd do if I started to sit there.
Yeah, I know.
You get pissed and gropey and it's just me and Clarky and producer Pegs.
I'd get half a bottle of whiskey in me and send my robot up to no good. I'd see if my robot could pickpocket George Clooney. Stuff like that. It'd be good, wouldn't it? It'd be like, what could Snowden's robot do? Or like, the ladies are going to their toilet and they'd hear like, good evening, girls. And it would be like, Snowden's robot come out and be like,
you're turning this into kind of Porky's.
Yeah. It's a new movie pitch. Snowden's robot. Short Circuit 3, Snowden's robot.
Snowden's robot, though, presumably isn't... Like, why are you getting Snowden's robot to commit extra crimes? The fact that the robot is able to move in the world is because he hasn't committed any crimes. If the first thing he does is go and molest somebody or rob somebody, then I guess that's like...
But it's cheeky crime.
No, it absolutely isn't. We're getting to very dangerous territory if you describe going into the women's toilets and getting gropey as cheeky crime.
No, I'd say you could pinch Clooney's bum, right? That'd be okay.
I don't.
You
like...
could tweak Cumberbatch's nip. Right?
No, I'm going to say any could... unwanted sexual attention, whether by robot or by you. And let's face it, it's more about you than it is the robot.
But this is Snowden's problem: is his robot's naughtier than he is. So, like, it's like
he's lost
circuit
control.
Short Circuit 3, it's like, hey, robot, let's go and talk to the mayor of Toronto. And they go over, and it's like, and then the robot's like, hey, nice tits on your wife. Snowden's like, whoa. That was robot. And he's
isn't
like,
the mayor of Toronto the guy who, didn't he smoke a load of crack?
And died. That's
oh, he died, yeah, he passed
let's
away.
Say the Prime Minister of Canada, the cool dude.
Yeah, the liberal dude.
Cool dude, Prime Minister guy.
I can't remember his name. Producer Pecks. Peck it out in Morse code, would you?
you're talking to the Prime Minister of Canada, and like the robot goes off piste, basically. It says like, God, your son's an ugly guy. Robot.
Your son's an ugly guy.
Yes.
He's not nice,
I know,
though.
That's the problem. Like, the robots... The robot did time in Iraq. He was an ex-bomb disposal...
He's Hurt Locker robot.
Hurt Locker 2. Right?
Edward Snowden's robot.
So the robot did time... He did two tours of Iraq, doing the bomb disposal, and it's affected him. And he's got, like, a laissez-faire attitude to life. He don't obey the rules.
He doesn't like walking around the supermarket.
And now he's got Snowden's face on him, and he's on diplomacy duty. They're the original Odd Couple. This is actually good, you know.
It's the guy who can't leave the embassy, and his robot, who's a loose cannon.
The robot is an ex-military loose cannon.
It's a bit like 2001: A Space Odyssey as well, isn't it?
Is that what that's about? Because I've never known.
And also, right?
It's basically the robot learns.
The robot learns, right?
He learns to love
that sometimes. The biggest bombs you can dispose are social ones.
Ah, that's good stuff.
If you detonate a social bomb, it can be as damaging. As a bomb.
As a real bomb. And the final shot is him with sunglasses on, obviously, the robot.
Yeah.
And he says, nice tits on all of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll always be together. Together in electric dreams.
And the doorbell of the embassy goes. Snowden's upstairs alone. And he goes down. And the robot's there with a chef's hat on and a barbecue in his hand.
Oh yeah, because he can have a barbecue in his hand.
I'm here to defuse your heart.
Oh my god, this is the best Snowden movie I've ever seen.
Is Snowden his own genre now?
Yeah. We've all got a Snowden movie in us. That's what they say. Everyone you see has got a Snowden movie in them.
I think we finally cracked it though. The Snowden robot.
I love the fact that he's an ex-Iraq bomb disposal robot. He's done time. Like, he's done his kind of...
He's done his tour.
He's earned a shift.
Yeah, and there's a reason he's got a screw loose.
Literally.
So he's got... well, that's the final...
Someone just tightens the screw and he's fine.
He's all right.
No. I think... But that should be the moment. They're like, he's been looking around for a screwdriver... And then someone gives him a screwdriver. Philip said screwdriver and
a
goes,
cocktail.
You can finally... No, yeah. that he short circuits and he dies. He's like, I guess I can screw my loose screw. And they go, hang on a sec.
That is award-winning dialogue.
I guess I can tighten my loose screw. And then Edward Snowden goes, actually, mate, it's the loose screws that make us who we are.
Oh, my God.
Don't tighten it. Do not touch it. There's a lot of prawns in District 9.
But also, stop telling the Canadian Prime Minister's daughter to touch it. Because that is causing us a diplomatic problem.
A diplomatic immunity!
Is that why you guys thought he was South African? Because he's got diplomatic immunity! That's the reason! The only way you can qualify for diplomatic immunity is to have a South African accent.
Oh no, I've not even seen that film either.
Diplomatic immunity. Puppies, Bangers and Mash, or PBAM 2.8, or the T-Babator.
I like the Terminator.
Yes,
I like it.
But ruder. Was improvised, written, and performed by Tom Parry, Steve Backley, Javelin.
Oh.
Favourite Olympiad?
Olympiad? Put somebody performed in the Olympics.
That's right.
Matthew Crosby, Ellie Simmons.
Ben Clark, Linford Christie.
Drugs cheat, Linford Christie.
Oh, come on, mate.
We've all had a bit.
And it was produced by producer Pex. Whose favourite Olympiad is a chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Seems fair enough.
Seems absolutely fair enough.
So, keep your reviews coming in.
Roll them along,
folks.
Yes.
Last time we asked you to review the podcast in the style of like a movie, and we had some great ones, really, really funny ones. We had Ellie Gels, who said, so good, it's a must watch before and after you die.
Oh my God, that's going on the poster.
That's definitely going on the poster.
We're getting posters, everyone. I know every month we promise merch that never arrives.
Never delivers.
That's one of our things.
We also had this one, Move Over Hunger Games. Crosby has never been better. Parry's bold choices must be heard to be believed. Clarkey's portrayal of confusion and rejection will break your heart. Producer Pex looks set to replace the minions in the nation's heart.
That is from DeRoof Trouser.
Yeah. Also, thank you very much for the pictures that came in of producer Pex being a cartoon chicken.
Oh, that was very strong.
Really strong.
Very strong.
Really work. Strong.
Oh, very and the dude who actually made the app.
Someone made an app. It's not really an app. And I don't know where we can put it, because it was just a little link to a website. But we'll stick it on our Twitter.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's an How's That Gonna Do?
How's That Gonna
How's
Do?
That How's That Gonna, that gonna do? Do?
Yes.
App.
How's Bless you, dear do? Listeners. You're working away. You're beavering away. This month, can you send in reviews? But they have to be written only in fact.
Yes.
It's a very fact-based episode.
Or so you could throw an opinion in there.
No, no opinions. Just what? Fact.
Just facts.
Just pure fact.
Okay.
Fact. 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 Their reviews, like, for example, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but fact, this is a 5-star podcast.
2 stars.
So, yes, write your reviews in fact. Have a jolly good month. We'll be back in September. Can't wait. Love you all. Had fun?
Yeah.
Tremendous fun. All right, then. Anything else to say?
Well, I guess. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Fact. The voice you are listening to is Snowden's robot. Nice tits on your wife. Nice tits on all of us. Now, let's dance.
A 1, 2, 3, 4.
Lovely stuff, everyone. We're having a great time.
Look at that.
Can't we all
everyone
get Yeah, no, wine. And don't you know, we're having a tasty meal. And everybody knows it's just how we feel. I wanna go down the street to where my baby lives. I wanna go down my meet my little baby and my baby so nice. We'll sing a song. We'll have a
what is this? What is this? What is this?
I don't know. I thought we'd invented a new type of music. I thought we'd invented a new type of music, but we hadn't.
Guys, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, then you may also enjoy watching us live in the actual flesh of life. We have a residency in the middle of London town, Soho, at the Soho Theatre. It's called the Secret Dude Society. We have a live band. We host the night, do a lot of mucking around, and we have some of our brilliant friends who are luckily also comedians performing. So let's give you the dates and the guests, and if you fancy coming along, please do. Clarky, when are we doing it next?
Yes, we're doing it on September the 26th.
Yes, that's Ed Gamble and Sam Simmons, our very special guests.
Then we've got a spooky Halloween special.
October the 31st.
That's David Trent and Richard Gadd. It's going to be a lot of shouting.
Yeah,
it's going to be an angry one. It's going to be an angry show.
Then in November, we're going to be bringing in Bonfire Night.
And we're also going to be bringing Australia to you.
Yes, November the 14th.
It's going to be Felicity Ward and Steen Raskopoulos.
Let's just repeat, that is not Bonfire Night.
Not Bonfire Night, Thomas. It is Bonfire Month.
And then our Christmas special.
December the 19th.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. It's a podcast special. We've got Stuart Goldsmith from The Comedian's Comedian and the king of podcasting himself, Richard Herring.
They're going to be interviewing us simultaneously as we open our presents. So, come along.
Also, all of those shows, we should say, all of those shows will contain some combination of Beasts or Max in a Van or Lazy Susan, and DJ Pegs will be there at every single one.
Okay. On the ones and twos. Secret Dudes. So, the Secret Dudes Society, please come along and be a member. Tickets are available from the Soho Theatre website. Thanks for listening. See you there. Bye. Bye.